You're listening to Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, a free resource from Dr. Paul Chapel and the Lancaster Baptist Church. This session is entitled Life Transformation Through the Bus Ministry with Brother Billy Willis. Brother Billy Willis oversees the bus ministry department at the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Thanks for coming in here. I'm sure each one of you have a heart for the bus ministry. If you're coming to this session, Transforming Lives Through the Bus Ministry. And I tell you, I owe a lot to the bus ministry. My dad was a bus kid in North Carolina. And I'm in the sticks in North Carolina, got saved off the bus ministry, then became the bus driver. And my parents are both saved. They still live in North Carolina. And I owe a lot to the bus ministry. You know, my dad was looking at all different kinds of religions, Mormonism and all that. And then a bus came by and saw, and the bus worker led him to the Lord. And now I have a Christian heritage. Amen. And all because of the bus ministry. And we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer together, and then we'll jump right in today. And regarding the bus ministry, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and I thank you for all the ones that love the bus ministry. Lord, as I saw our buses go out this Sunday, and Lord, picking up young children and teens and adults, Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of a bus ministry and seeing families changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4 and verse 53. John chapter 4 and verse 53. As you're turning there, I was just kind of give you a history about myself in the bus ministry. When I graduated college, my wife and I served in a very small church in Delco, North Carolina, right about 30 miles outside of Wilmington, North Carolina, and in the sticks. If you've ever been around the Wilmington area, if you go anywhere past Wilmington, there's nothing. All right? Well, that's exactly where we were. And but we knew this. There was a lot of young people that lived around there, and my wife and my wife's mom's from Ripley, West Virginia, and she had been a bus captain for over 20 years. And saw many kids saved and things like that. So the bus ministry was, of course, my dad being a bus kid, my wife's mom being a bus captain for all those years, the bus ministry was on our heart. And, of course, working with youth, it was already on our heart. So every Sunday, our church van just sat under the canopy and did nothing. So we thought, hey, we ought to start using that thing. So we started knocking doors. And I remember one week we had 27 on the 15-passenger van. The next week we had three because nobody wanted to ride it because they had to sit in everybody else's lap. And we saw every child and teen saved and baptized off that route. And I remember the deacons wouldn't buy us a bus. They said, we've already tried that before, and it doesn't work. And so we just kept on running the van, just kept on filling up. Then we started taking my car along and filling that up too, and just whatever we could do. And then we moved out here years later, and one of our interns was the bus director as an intern, and he ended up leaving, and pastor called me in his office. He said, Billy, I want you to take over the bus ministry. And I'll be honest with you, I had not mixed emotions about taking over the bus ministry, but just mixed emotions about taking over the bus ministry here. And I didn't question my pastor. I said, okay, pastor, whatever you want to do. And I'm going to tell you, we've seen a lot of lives changed. And it has nothing to do about what color our buses are. It has nothing really to do about what kind of buses we run. It has everything to do with what Brother Davidson said last night is the Word of God. And it has come down to that. It has nothing to do really about promotions, even though I think you should have promotions. It has nothing to do about how great the preacher is on the bus, even though I think you should have a great preacher on the bus. It really doesn't matter. It's just getting the Word of God in the hearts of these kids. Every one of us, and let me read this verse first, then before I jump ahead. All right, John 4:53. John 4:53. It says, so the Father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said, this is Jesus heals the nobleman, so, but I just want to read this verse. It was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believe. And look what it says, and his whole what? House. Every time I read that in the Bible, it kind of stirs something in me. That when Jesus came on the scene, it wasn't just that one that got saved, it was the entire house that got saved. The bus ministry isn't just to bring, listen, we can create great crowds easily. I mean, our big bus day this past year, we had over 1,000 kids, all different places and things like that, and saw 100 saved. You know what? And that's a great thing. And be honest with you, it looks good on black and white, but they had this many. But you know what? That's not what it's about. It's about the whole house. That's what it's about. This past Sunday afternoon, some Sunday afternoons, I'll go and baptize some of the bus kids that their parents won't come. We have them fill out a bus permission slip. And I met a guy named Dennis from Rosamond. Well, we ran out of a public school a few months ago to have a big outreach, and Dennis got saved at that outreach. He's a 23-year-old man, and he felt like God's calling him to preach. Well, this is just a few months ago. And now he's led his girlfriend to the Lord, and now he's coming, and he's wearing, wearing a suit doesn't mean you're a better Christian than anybody else, but now he's dressed sharp. I saw him at the Spiritual Leadership Conference the other night. You know, see, the bus ministry isn't just about a number-orientated thing. It is about reaching people with the cause of Christ and not leaving them at salvation. You see, it's about seeing them saved, baptized, and growing in the Lord. You know what? I'm glad that bus captain or whoever led my dad to the Lord, I'm glad they just didn't leave him at salvation. I'm glad they discipled him and grew, and one day he became the bus captain. But we've all walked through the mall, haven't we, and seen a young person all pierced up, tattooed up, kind of just thuggish. We've all seen them with their drooping drawers, underwear hanging out, backwards cap. We've all seen it. And I guarantee this, if we've been around long, including me, they say, man, how did they do that and why did they do that? We've all said that. You may tell you why they do that, and I think it's nothing new to us. That's all they know. That's all they know. Why do they act like a bunch of animals? That's what their dad does. I mean, just about every week when I deal with our bus kid, yeah, my dad's going to come kill you. He's a blood. He's a Crip. He's in the game. That's all they know. So if we're going to transform lives, it's not going to be anything we say or do besides what we teach out of the Word of God. This is what the Bible still says this, for wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's exactly how it's going to happen. It's not having Big Balloon Sunday. It's not having Popsicle Sunday. It's not having any other Sunday other than preaching and getting it in there and loving children. And I'm sure you do. But when people see these kids out and about, I always think this, I bet they've ridden our bus before. A lot of times in Walmart, I walk up and say, hey, there's that bus guy. That's what they call me. There's the guy that rides the bus. You know, there's a guy that's out there, and mom and dad always look at me. You know, or I'll slap them five, and mom and dad, who's that guy? Yeah, he's out there at the buses. You see, when we want to transform lives, it has nothing to do with what we're doing. It has everything to do about what the Word of God is doing through us and changing lives. I believe all my heart that this, I tell our captains this. I say, if your route shrinks, it should be because mom and dad just came to church. That's the reason it should be. That's the only reason it should shrink, is because now you've reached that family. The goal of our bus ministry is not numbers. The goal of our bus ministry is to reach the entire family. You say, has it ever been done? Yeah, it has. We've seen the families come. We've seen the families get involved. We've seen dad stop drinking. We've seen dad get off drugs. We've seen mom and dad renew their marital vows. We've seen those things because the Word of God changes lives. All right? That's start number one is this. Here's some ways to transform lives. Number one is this, the discipleship program. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Matthew 6, 11. Very simple verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, how many of you, be honest with me, you were hungry when you went to lunch today? Some of you were starving when you went to lunch today. You couldn't wait. When you walked in that gym, the smell of that fresh meat about slapped you in the face. You were so hungry. When I go back to North Carolina, I walk in one of these barbecue places. We got a real good one in Greenville. And, man, I'm telling you, when I walk in, man, my taste buds are just, ugh. You know what? It would have been torture if they said, yeah, you can sit here and smell it, but you can't eat it. I'd be a miserable guy. If we don't eat, we are miserable. Why do you think so many bus kids never leave their sinful habits? It's because they're not being fed spiritually. They're being fed with the world's ways and the world's sins and all those things, but we're not doing a good enough job getting the Word of God in them. So about a year ago, we started working on something, and it's not perfect. I think some of you have it. If you did not get one of these, I think I only printed like 20. Let Tanya know, and we'll either send it to you or something like that. This is not a perfect book. This is something, it's not laid out awesome. It's not like when you look at it, you want to pick it up and read it. Okay? Let me explain to you what we did. About a year ago or so, I saw some of our kids, it's almost like they hit the roof. It's like they weren't growing past a certain point. Because our goal is this, if they feel like God's calling their life, we want them to come to West Coast or go to another Christian college. We want them to be able to have the opportunity to go there. But it's like they weren't getting to that point. It's like they didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. Even though they were saved, that relationship with the Lord wasn't there. So I met with some people, and we started just throwing some ideas around, and we're still going to develop this. This isn't even for sale. This is just something that we use, okay? So we started getting together, and I put some ideas together, and it's very simple. All it is a little journal, and I think it's in the. I think that's a little thing right here on page 7. It's the student checkoff and discipler initial. What we do, we give, and I even told our bus captains, I don't want every kid on your route with this. So what I had every bus captain pick about 2 or 3 teenagers on their route, and some of them are 5th and 6th graders that are there. What I mean, you know what I'm saying by there? It's like they're there, they're ready to take the next step. Not the ones that would just take this and throw it away, but the ones that are there. And I said, I want you to give this to them, and this is going to be in an accountability book. All right, so every day they get on the bus. Now listen, we don't make an extra special effort or have an extra special class where they're sitting one-on-one on this particular thing. This is a little different than our normal discipleship we have on Wednesday night. And when they get on the bus, the student or the bus rider will hand this to the, we call it the discipleship secretary, and they'll take the book and they'll mark it off and initial it. B for Bible, D for devotion, soul winning, attendance, and prayer list. All right? And on the pages following this, there's some pages that says, my talk to the Lord. There's their prayer list. Just very simple. And we explain it to the kids this way. And then we have the Lord speaking to me. This is their devotions. And then, Lord, I need help in this area. And then we also wanted to take classroom notes. Just very easy. That's all it is. Just a couple verses, a thought for the day, a prayer time. It just kind of outlines it. Because we don't expect them to get up and read 4 and 10 chapters a day. We just want them to be daily in the Word. That's it. We just want them taking some small nuggets and learning it. So then about every other month, what we do to reward them, certain ones that have met the requirements of reading their Bible, not every day because some of them won't. All right? But if they miss like 4 or 5 days during that month, we'll have a special preaching. Because I think the bus ministry should be tied into your drive-in crowd at some time or another. All right? So what we do, I'll have like Larry Chappell or Brother Schmidt or somebody like that, one of our youth workers or one of our youth interns, we'll have a big breakfast for them, those kids that are in Fundamental Thrive. And we feed them and then we preach at them. And we reward them for their faithfulness. All right? About every other month or so, we'll do that for them. And I was just a little token. But the reason we started this is to get those teens that are there in God's Word. In God's Word every day and holding them accountable for this. We named this Fundamental Thrive because I want the kids thriving in the fundamentals of the Bible, of Bible doctrines. That's the reason we called it that. And teens just having a daily walk. And so that's the discipleship program that we're using right now. We just kind of threw something together about a year and we just started typing it out and working on it. And we're still adding and developing and things like that for that. But number two is this. Transforming lives through the bus ministry. Number two, dedicated days to invite parents. Dedicated days to invite parents. Now listen, a lot of things I'm just going to share with you regarding what we do here. And I know it doesn't work that way everywhere, and it'd be stupid to think that. But there's one thing we do, I think every February, we rent out a couple public schools, and then we have about 30 minutes away is Rosamond, and then about 25 minutes away is Lake L.A., and then we have, then we use our facilities here for Lancaster Palmdale. But what we do, we go around and just pass out as many flyers as we can, get as many commitments as we can, and we just have a really big push that day. And it's what we call it our community outreach. So people that get a flyer on their door, even if they're not bus families, they would say, oh, we're having a community outreach. We have air bounces and candy and bike giveaways and everything like that. And we even have walk-ins. We'll have the buses come in and also the walk-ins come in. So what we do, we try to have dedicated days set aside to just get the parents to church. Just some set-aside day. Say, hey, ride the bus with your kids. We even have adult services that day. And it's always opposite of what our normal church schedule is. And I think this past year, we had quite a few people coming, a lot of walk-ins coming, and that Daryl guy came and got saved, and he's feeling like God's calling him to preach. But not only like a bring-them-in type weekend, but also Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. We use our Vacation Bible School not just for our church family. We run our bus routes during Vacation Bible School during the evening time from 6 to 8 is our times, and the buses go out that day. But it's not just a Monday through Friday thing. What we do in our rally time is we get up and say, well, listen, kids, this Sunday we're going to have a special choir, and it's going to be made up of you. And say, the only way you can sing in this choir is if you bring your parents. And we tell them that. So we say, now, if you ride in on a bus, you won't be able to sing. If you come in with your parents, you get to sing. So in 3 weeks, we'll have our special choir. And the whole choir loft is full of children. And mom and dads that have never even stepped foot in our church. The only reason they came is to see them sing. That's it. So then they get up and sing, and they're loud, and man, they're singing some good gospel songs, and then pastor gets them to preach the salvation message. And every year we see mom and dad saved. You see, we got to have special opportunities to help reach, like it says here in John chapter 4 and verse 53, the whole house gets saved. The whole house gets saved, transforming, dedicated days. And then also this, discipleship. And the reason I say that again is this. Before a teen can enter the discipleship program, we get parental permission. We say, now listen, your child's going to enter this, and this is going to be accountability. We're going to expect them to read the Bible every day. We explain this to the parent. Because listen, as many times we can have that face-to-face contact with the parents, the better. And then they walk in and see their child reading the Bible. But dedicated days to invite the parents. Number three is this. The determined goal of the bus ministry is the entire house. Turn over to Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Acts 18:8 says this, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. You know what? Somebody wasn't just, they were happy that Crispus got saved. But they said, hey, there's more to it than that. Now turn over to Acts chapter 9, verse 17, where we're in Acts. I was reading this today. I can't remember if it was in my devotions or what, but it kind of just spoke to me. I love this verse. Knew after Saul was coming through the way, and then he stopped at Ananias' house. And Ananias went his way in Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you read anything about Saul, everybody was scared to death of him, weren't they? Because everywhere Saul went, he was beating people and speaking mean things. And here's Ananias walks in and says, hey, Brother Saul, let me help you. And I thought about this. That's exactly how many of the bus kids are treated. Oh, you're that way. You're that way. And I'm always trying to tell our workers, listen, a soft answer turned away wrath. If that child is stirred up, they're stirred up for a reason. Don't you be the one stirring them up. Love on them and care for them. And if they're having a bad attitude, get in their home that week. That's the only way we can transform lives, is to enter into the life of that person and the time spent with. I think about my own life in Greenville, North Carolina. I wouldn't say I was a rebellious teen. I just wasn't a good teen. And I remember my youth pastor, he could have very said, oh, there comes Billy. Very easily. I mean, listening to the wrong music, the wrong friends, hanging around the wrong crowd. And I'll never forget Mr. Curry just taking me out and spending time with me. I never forget, I can't hear very well in my right ear because of the system I used to have in my car. And I remember the only gospel CD I had, I threw all the rap stuff behind the seat and threw him a gospel CD. That's all I had, you see. And I remember him getting in the car, and man, I tell you, I didn't want him to reach behind the seat and find it because I knew he loved me. And I knew he spent time with me. And I knew if he found out the music I was listening to, I would hurt him. You know, a lot of times that's what it takes in a bus child's life. Is when that child said, oh, here goes Brother so-and-so. I need to watch what I do. Because you're holding them accountable. You're holding them accountable to those things. But the determined goal is to see the entire house saved. The goal of the bus ministry is to see the family sitting in the pews, listening to the preacher and knowing the pastor. And knowing the Lord even more. Not only determined goal is the entire house. Number four is this. adapting to special needs. Adapting to special needs. I don't know how your area is, but we have a lot of single moms in our area. A lot of single moms. And so years ago, we thought, and most of the time, a single mom probably won't just ride a children's route. They feel a little uncomfortable. So we thought, you know what, we got a bus over here, and we got a driver, and we even got a lady that's really excited about starting. So we started a ladies route. And the only people that really ride that ladies route are single mom and their children. And they bring them to Sunday school, and they bring them to church. And it runs completely opposite of all our bus routes. You see, that was a special need that we saw, and we had a bus sitting over there. We thought, hey, we can use it. And now lives have been changed. You know what, then about a year ago, I started seeing we had teens riding our buses, but when they hit college or career age, they stopped coming. They just kind of went off. We never saw them again. You know, the only time you saw them was at the store or something like that. So about a year ago, I asked Pastor, I said, Pastor, I really have a burden about our college and career bus teens, or bus adults really now. I said, because we're starting to lose them. I said, they hit about 18, 19 years old, and you never see them again. And I said, well, Pastor, can we start a college and career bus class? I said, if they ride in on the bus, or even if they drive in, they would still go to that class. So we started about a year ago, and I think every Sunday they have between 30 and 40 in there. And there's one of them that's probably going to come to West Coast, if not this year, but next year. He's an all-star basketball player. And because Tommy Thurgood, the teacher of that class, got in their lives, it's unbelievable. When they walk in, a lot of the guys are tattooed up, been in gangs and all that stuff. Now they come in dressed, pants pulled up. It's unbelievable how the Word of God has now changed them. But we saw that special need and began to pray about it and pray about the right person to take that. And listen, I don't know what special need you have. Maybe the people in your city have. But I'm sure there's some special need out there. Maybe if you put a little attention to it, that you could reach more people. That's what we saw there. And as far as the college career and also the ladies route, number five is this. Here's how you, this is one big thing about transforming lives for the bus ministry. Detailed follow-up. Detailed follow-up. I'm going to take just a couple minutes to explain to you this. We, I think last February we had, I think about 1,400 on our big bus day. If I guess right, that's just a guesstimation. And it just praise the Lord for that. I mean, it's all the Lord, and I mean, just a lot of workers going out. And I think we saw about 200 people saved. What did I say, Tanya? About 200. All right, we said, man, well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Yeah, but Sunday afternoon, I felt a bigger burden on Sunday afternoon after it was over than I did before it started. Because I do this. There's 200 precious souls that now had to be followed up on. It wasn't, oh, now you're saved, that's it. No, we wanted to transform some lives. See, God transformed some lives. So what we did, Tanya and a few other ladies stayed up late, got on the MapQuest kind of thing and began to type out all the maps and the names of the kids and the names of the people that got saved. And then we put them all together. So on that Monday when we had soul winning, and on Tuesday night when we had soul winning, and on Saturday we had soul winning, we're standing up there saying, hey, we got visits right here for baptism. We got visits right here for people that need to be saved. We got people right here that need to be followed up, and here's a young couple that came. And what we did is made a big deal of follow-up. And it's the same thing we do for Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School ends at like 8 o'clock on Friday night, but we tell all the workers, if you cannot go out sowing on Saturday, don't sign up to work VBS. Because we've got a lot of follow-up to do. So Saturday morning, we'll do the same thing. She'll stay up to 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, putting maps together and names together. So that Saturday morning at the soul winning rally, we stand up, Edwin, you've been there, and we stand up and say, hey, here it is right here. Here's a map. Go to little Johnny's house and see mom and dad saved. And every year after VBS is over, we see the baptistry water stirred. And then we keep on following up, and we keep on following up, and we keep on following up. You know, you say, well, do people fall through the cracks? We try not to, but sometimes they do. But that name on that sheet of paper that got saved is as precious as anything else you could put in my hands. Because follow-up is so important. But listen, to me, the bus ministry, and I've said this before, is more than just numbers. Hey, you can say, well, we had 500 on the buses and all that, and that's awesome. I think we should be stirred up about that. But what's those 500 doing? How are we transforming them? How are we helping? How are we getting in their lives? How are we doing it? What are we using to get in there in their life? A detailed follow-up for salvation, a detailed follow-up for baptism, and a detailed follow-up for spiritual growth. Hey, if there's one thing in the bus ministry I think that all of us buy enough of is what? Candy. Don't we? And there's nothing wrong with that. They should look forward to getting that piece of candy. But you know what? As we go and take that piece of candy to that kid, how are we judging their growth? How are we doing it? Are they growing? Or are we just filling up the buses just because that's what we need to do? You know, I sat down with our pastor, it was probably 2 years ago. He said, Billy, I'm more concerned about their spiritual growth than anything. He said, I want them to come here and hear a good lesson and hear a bus captain that's on fire for the Lord than worrying about a bunch of numbers. He said, let's just see some teens and children growing in the Lord. It was so neat. Garen, some of you heard the name Garen the other night called to preach. You know what he was? Bus kid. The other night he came forward and said, Pastor Chapel said, Garen's called to preach. He rode Brother Downey's route, one of our bus captains. You know, that's when lives are being transformed. But let me just tell you this. It takes time out of our lives to see those kids transformed. And it takes dedication to get like a discipleship program or making sure that the curriculum is just right and making sure that they're growing and following up and making phone calls and passing out candy and all those things. But seeing those lives transformed. And I think sometimes it's just our mindset of seeing it go that way. All right? Are there any questions or anything? I know it's a little warm, so I was going to get you out of here. It's warmed up. Is it warm out there too? Okay. It's warm up here. So, any questions or anything that I could be a help with? Or yes, sir. Right now, we don't. We just, what we do, we try to get our teachers and our, because our teachers, bus class teachers, and our bus captains and workers are kind of like a team. So they're going by and visiting and keeping them faithful and trying to help them. But we're hoping one day we can actually do something for them. We started with the teens first, and then we're going to move to children with that. Yes, sir.
Do your bus captains go out by themselves when they go to the kids, or do you have
2x2? We tell them to go out 2x2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, try not to do it by themselves. Yes, sir. Just run a program. I mean, they do preach, games, everything, and we don't have promotions every Sunday because sometimes I think that just gets kids just get callous to it. So, but some Sundays we do, and they'll play off that promotion too. So, but yeah, they do all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, as you would know, I'm sure. Yes, sir. It is. Okay, I'll explain a little bit what we do. We run buses during the school year. We run them on Saturday, Sunday morning, and Sunday afternoon. During summertime, we run them Sunday morning. They leave at 6:30. They get here 6:30 on Sunday morning. They get here at 8:30. And then the second routes, which would be Palmdale, Rosamond, Lake Los Angeles, little further routes out, they leave at 11:15 from our campus and come back at 2:00. And so when the kids get off the bus, they'll have a different teacher, different workers, and all those broken up like a normal Sunday school. So our drive-in crowd and bus crowd only meet once a year at Vacation Bible School, and unless they start driving in. But really, the reason we do that is space issue. We just can't fit any more kids in our classes, so we've just had to go to that. So, yes, sir. We do. A lot of times when it gets, for some reason it works out here like this, the bus class teacher or the bus captain kind of find, they'll go out and pick them up. They'll grab somebody else and they'll go pick them up as a 16, 17, 18-year-old teen, and they'll start bringing them. And so that's kind of how that's worked here for that. They kind of find a fondness or interest in seeing them grow on that. So, yes, sir. It'll go through my office. We'll put it in the computer and to make sure we have it, and then it goes to the bus captain. And then we keep on following up with that bus captain so we don't lose track of it. Yes, sir. And then, what, every 3 or 4 months, we'll try, if the kid still hasn't been baptized and been followed, we'll try to do a better follow-up on it. And yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've got one right here. You can have this one. All right. Anybody else have a question or anything? Yes, sir. By like 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade, yeah. Something like that. Or how are you guys working it? Do you have like a special class just for that age? Because the way we work it and the reason we do it this way, 7th graders do not get along with 11th graders. They don't. So we have 7th and 8th grade boys and girls separated. And then we have our senior high separated. Just because in it. Yeah. And I think it's... Our teacher is so unique, Brother Whaley. He's one of our deacons in our church. He's been teaching junior high boys for like 18 years, so all the boys know him. So, and one way he keeps his kids in there, he'll go out and take them soul winning with him or take them out to eat. You know, he'll take them soul winning for like an hour and then go spend time with them. And so I know that takes a lot of his time up and his workers' times, but he always builds that good nucleus of kids, and it helps all the other kids in that. So I don't know if that's a good idea, I mean, or not. I don't even know if that would help you, but that's how we do it here. You know, I know you can't take everything from here and put it in, but that's how it's been working. So, any other questions? Yes, sir.
College students, bus workers?
Yeah. When the college students are here, we use them, and we'll put them on the bus. Sometimes there'll be a bus captain, but not a lot of times, and, unless they're here full-time. All right? So that's usually how we work that. And, of course, in the summertime, we have, like, 100 college kids here, and that's pretty much it. And we never see them because they're always working. So, but they're in ministry somewhere or another. Oh, does that answer your question? Okay. Anybody else? These are good questions. Well, listen, keep it going. I know the bus ministry sometimes are the biggest blessings, and I know sometimes they are the biggest burdens. All right? But I'm going to tell you this. It's worth it. It is absolutely worth it to keep the buses rolling. I don't care what anybody says. You know, they say, well, gas is expensive and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but God's still on the throne. It doesn't really matter. You know, because that one soul that we meet on the streets of gold one day that was all, rode our bus that we had no idea about is worth it. So listen, if y'all need anything throughout the week, let me know and enjoy the rest of the time. We'll see y'all later.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.